Would you take your Bible and turn with me to another passage of Scripture this morning? And that would be John chapter 19. I told Sheila this morning, I said, I'm covering so much Scripture, I'm almost afraid that I'm going to burden you with turning. But I pray that that will not be the case. We are going through these perspectives on the cross and the viewpoint of different ones as they were looking at Christ hanging on the cross. And we've looked at the perspective of the wicked ones. Pilate, who in sentencing the Lord to the cross, said of Him, I am innocent of the blood of Christ. And of course, the perspective of the Jews who then said, well, then let His blood be on us. We've considered Barabbas, and Barabbas who realized even as he would that day have died, but there is another that dies in his place, none other than Christ. We've looked at the soldiers who were calloused and they took Christ back into the room where judgment would have normally taken place. And there they began to mock Him. They scourged Him. And then they led Him away, leading Him through the city streets. And people were mocking as He walked by. One named Simeon was volunteered by the soldiers to help carry the cross. And there were other women that were following, and I believe they followed Him all the way out to Golgotha. And they were weeping and mourning. And the Lord turned, and some of them, I do not believe, knew the Lord. And He said to them, weep for yourselves, predicting in a moment of prophecy that there would be a great sorrow that would come on that city as a result of its sin. There were the soldiers who nailed Him to the cross. And the Bible says that as they lifted up the cross and it fell into the hole, that they began to part the garments of those that had been killed. One of the seamless ones belonging to Christ, they decided to cast lots. And then they sat down and they watched Him there. Last Sunday was Mother's Day. And we looked at the perspective of those women who stood by the cross. You have your Bible open. Look with me at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I'm going to invite you to look with me at verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother, and His mother's sister, we know that she was Salome, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw His mother, and the disciple, speaking of John, standing by, whom He loved. And He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And so four women, standing by the cross. Mary, she looks up and sees the son that she had nursed. She looks at the one that is hanging there and realizes that He had only brought joy to her life. And through His eyes, He looks into the eyes of His mother. The first face that He saw when He entered into this world is a baby. And now He hangs dying there. He's dying as a thief. And yet He is a man without sin. The sins that He bears are not the sins of His own works, but they are the sins that represent each of us. He bears our sins. There are others that are found there in verse 25. His mother's sister, we know from another passage, she was Salome, the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. She bears her sorrow and the sorrow of her sister. Another that is found there in verse 25, the wife of Cleophas. Her name is also Mary. And I shared with you last week, we won't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 10 and over in Luke chapter 6, we see one mention, speaking of James and Joseph, as sons of one named Alphaeus. It's believed that this wife of Cleopas is none other than this Mary that we find in other portions of Scripture. And then finally, in verse 25, we see Mary Magdalene. We know from earlier Scriptures that out of her the Lord had cast seven demons. Some people paint her according to Luke 7, and they try to say that, well, Mary is the prostitute that you find in Luke 7. I don't find anywhere in the Scriptures that you can support that. I don't believe that she was that woman. But nevertheless, she was a woman whose soul was tormented by demons. And then finally, we look at verse 26 there in John 19. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by. The disciple whom Jesus loved. John stands there apart from many of the other disciples. He's the son of Salome, Mary's sister. And therefore, he is the cousin of Christ as he hangs on the cross. He is a part of the inner circle, along with Peter and James. And when Jesus was arrested, he followed from afar. And as they led him into the home of Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest, John stands in the courtyard and another, Peter, stands with him there. John has followed him to the cross. And then I would invite you this morning as we consider these things, consider four questions that I would like to put before you. And the questions are, where were the others? Where were the other disciples? Where were those who followed Jesus from Galilee up to Jerusalem for the Passover? Where were the thousands that he had healed? And where were the sons and daughters of Mary and Joseph, his half-brothers and half-sisters? I don't know if you've ever considered that or ever heard it preached on, but I have some suggestions for you today of where we might find them. You have your Bible open there, and I'm going to invite you now, turn back with me to Matthew 27, and keep your fingers nimble this morning. We're going to do a lot of that turning today. Look with me in Matthew 27, and we're going to notice in verse 55 these words. Verse 55, and many women. And many women were there beholding afar off. On your outline there, if you want to use it. Who were these women? We know from the Scriptures that they were women of Galilee. Again, in that same verse there, verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. I want to give you three thoughts about these women of Galilee. The first is this, their identity. Their identity. And I would say to you this morning that they are not named. They are the nameless ones who stand from afar. But I'd suggest to you that there's some other Scripture that gives us insight into who these women were. Now before we turn, look again at verse 55. And many women were there at Golgotha, but they were beholding afar off. I want you to picture this morning, this scene of the cross. And around the perimeter of that cross, there might well have been some 100 soldiers. I don't know what the number might be. But we know that there was a centurion there. He is the one that is over 100 soldiers. He stands at the cross throughout the crucifixion. There are other soldiers who have gambled or cast lots, parting his robes, and the one who won the lots, he ended up taking the seamless one. But I believe there was around the perimeter of Golgotha a group of soldiers, perhaps numbering as much as 100. Remember, the city is full to overflowing. Some say that there are literally hundreds of thousands that have come into Jerusalem for the Passover. There is no way that Rome and Pilate is going to risk an insurrection in this moment and in this hour of crucifixion. There are others, the wicked, who are walking by and they are cursing and they're mocking Him as He hangs on the cross. But there were those beholding afar off. You have your Bible again. I'm going to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 15. Again, each of these Gospels, it gives us a different perspective, almost adding dimensions to the scene of the cross. Mark chapter 15, and I invite you to look with me at verse 40 and 41. Verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off. Now watch this. Verse 40. Now these are the names of the ones that are afar off. But the ones that are found in verse 40 are the names of the ones that we've read earlier in Matthew that were by the cross. Now in Mark chapter 15 and verse 40, the same ones are now named afar off. Let me read it. Mark 15 and verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom the same three that were at the cross, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. Now I'm going to tell you why they are afar off now in a few moments. But continue with me and look at verse 41. Who also, speaking of those women in verse 40, who also, when He was in Galilee, followed Him, and ministered unto Him. And so we have Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome, who are afar off, who minister unto Him. But look at the latter part of verse 41. And many other women which came up with Him unto Jerusalem. And so we've looked at the women by the cross. In verse 40, those three women, other than Mary, the mother of Jesus, now are afar off from the cross. Verse 41, and there are many other women that are also there with Him who came from Galilee. I want to ask you to turn, but Luke chapter 23, verse 49, the women that followed Him from Galilee. And so we have in three Gospels those women afar off, three of whom had moved from the cross and had joined their sisters from Galilee. Now consider not only their identity, but number two, consider their indebtedness. Why are they at Golgotha? Why are they there? These women, what is it that has brought them there? We know that they've come a great distance. They've come from Galilee. They've gone up to Jerusalem. They have ministered to the Lord along the way and during the course of His ministry. But why these women? Look with me. You have your Bible open there. I'm going to ask you to look again. Turn to another gospel. Look with me at Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. And I invite you to look with me at verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass, now this is in the Lord's earlier ministry, and it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, speaking of the disciples, were with Him. Verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And among them we find Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. The latter part of verse 3, we find again, in fact I'll read it, hopefully I'll say the pronunciation right, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, verse 3, and many others which ministered unto Him of their substance. And so we've got additional names there. The important thing is to remember this. Of those who were standing afar off, there were many women. Many of those women were there because of the touch of the Lord's hand in their life. I want to suggest to you, as you look at verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, suggest to you some of those women. I would say that gazing on him afar off were all Galilean women. They were very aware of Christ and His ministry. They had been a part of His life. In fact, they were indebted to the Lord for His ministry among them. Perhaps Peter's mother-in-law was there. Remember Peter's mother-in-law? She had been healed of a fever. Perhaps that's indicative of the fact that maybe there was a blazing infection in her body. And the Lord had dined in Peter's house, and the Lord had healed Mary's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, that she might minister to Christ and His disciples. Maybe it was the widow of Nain that was there, Luke chapter 7, whose son Jesus raised from the dead. Maybe it was the woman who had the issue of blood that we find in Mark chapter 5. And the Lord passing by, and she reached out and touched the hem of His garment, and she was healed. And among them, we find Mary Magdalene. And so we've seen today then their identity, their indebtedness. Would you notice thirdly, their devotion? I scratched my head and tried my best to come up with an I word. I didn't. Some of you linguists, I'm sure, are going to come up with it. And if you do, give it to me after the service. And if I ever write this out, I'll make sure I get the credit. Okay? Their devotion. Consider this. Over in Luke 8, chapter 3, again, the latter part, which ministered unto him of their substance. You know what substance is? Their money, their possessions, their wealth. They had given their property. They had given their personal belongings. They had provided for the Lord according to the Gospels. They had ministered to Him. They had done those things that needed to be done when this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His disciples were traveling. You know, there was the need of meals. There was the need of mending robes. They were giving of their time and they were giving of their talents. And let me just say this, just as a passing thought. We understand in any church that is a church that is vibrant and is serving, how important women who love the Lord are to that church. I was watching the ladies singing up here on stage. Every last one of them are involved in some area of ministry. They're not just under the spotlight Sunday morning. Every one of them are serving in other places. And so let me just say to the godly women among us, you are a necessary part of the ministry of Hillsdale Baptist Church. We would not be able to minister to the families and to the hurting in the manner that we are without you. We would not be able to minister to children without you working in the children's wing or working in the nursery. You are an essential part of our life and our ministry as a church family. And so when we look at these women beholding afar off, maybe you were not able, if you were at the cross, to be there with Mary. In fact, maybe those soldiers in that hour would only allow at the cross the very closest ones to the Lord. And when you think about it, that would seem to be the case. Mary, His mother, is at the cross. Her sister is at the cross. Salome is there. And then the two other ladies that are there. One, the name of one of the apostles. The other, the mother of James and John. And then the other that is there is Mary Magdalene. And so these were the very closest of those women were at the cross. That perimeter of soldiers stands there. And standing, beholding afar off, were those women that dare not leave that place as long as their Lord was on the tree. Consider also then, letter B on your outline, the three women beholding afar off in John chapter 19 are now were by the cross. John 19:25, they were by the cross. Matthew 27:55, they were standing afar off. And I thought of this, Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think she stayed there. Now, last week, in my studying, I was uncertain of how to share this with you. At what point did John lead Mary away from the cross? And I think I have the answer for you. Take your Bible. Turn with me to John 19 this morning. John 19. We know that three of the ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Mary and the mother of Zebedee's children, they are afar off now. At some point during the crucifixion, they have moved. Mary stayed by the cross. And beside her was John. How do you know, preacher, that he had not already led her away? Look with me at John 19 and verse 33. In fact, I'm going to bring you up even further. John chapter 19. And I'm going to invite you to follow with me as I read, beginning at verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that is, for the Passover, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, and they besought Pilate that their legs, the three that are being crucified, at least the three we know of, perhaps there were others, but at least the three, one being Christ in the midst. And they besought Pilate, these religious leaders of the Jews, that the legs of those that were being crucified might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The reason for breaking the legs was as long as the victims on the cross had their feet on a step that went out from the cross, that those that were dying on the cross would use their legs to pull themselves up to take a breath. Otherwise, by their outstretched hands, without the ability to lift themselves up, they would have been unable at some point to bring in the oxygen that was necessary. It is because of that reason that historically, those who were crucified sometimes would hang on the crosses for literally days. As people were passing in and out of the cities, the crosses were always on major thoroughfares. The Jews were used to seeing on crosses outside of their cities those who were dying, left there hanging to die, sometimes for days. But this is a holy day. It is the Passover day. It is the day that the Jews demand that there not be any left to die whose bodies are on those crosses. And so in verse 31, to keep those who are dying from lifting themselves up by their legs, verse 31, they petition Pilate, "Break the legs of those being crucified." Verse 32, "Then came the soldiers, and they break the legs of the first thief, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already." Now you realize this is fulfilling prophecy now, that a bone would not be broken in the Lord's body. The matter of crucifixion was at some point to speed death, break the legs. And yet the Lord has already given up the ghost. Verse 33 again, "He was dead already, and they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Verse 35, "Where is John and Mary?" Verse 35, "And he that saw it bare record." Whose gospel are we reading? The gospel of who? The gospel of John. And so now, John is saying, "I'm giving you what I witness. Let's read it. Verse 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is certain. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Let's keep reading. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bond of him shall not be broken. And again, another Scripture, by the way, Exodus 12, verse 46, Zechariah 12, 10, verse 37. And again, another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Mary and John stood by the cross. The three others that had been with her now are far off. And she and John stand there. I can picture in my heart and my thoughts his arm around her, can't you? What mother watching the suffering of her son would be able to stand there without someone else to put their arm around her and to steady her? She watches as the soldiers take a mallet and they go to the first thief. And they break his legs. Another breaks the legs of another thief. And then she watches. And a soldier takes his spear in hand. And he thrusts it up into the heart of her son. John said, and I bear record. But who else was at this scene of the cross? Would you notice with me, and I'm going to invite you to turn again, Luke chapter 23, and look at verse 49. I love hearing the rustling of your pages. It thrills my heart. Luke 23:49. We've seen the women. In fact, the Bible says, and many women. We've seen that they were women of Galilee. We've seen three women that were by the cross. Now they are beholding from afar. But there were others that were there too. Look with me, Luke 23 and verse 49. In verse 49, we read these words, and all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to cover the verses prior to that. But I invite you to look at verse 49. And all, everyone, the totality of all his, verse 49, his acquaintance. Who were his acquaintance? The meaning of the word there is the word that can mean friends, and it can mean family. I believe all his acquaintances would have been his family members. Remember last week I kind of wrestled, where are the half-brothers and the half-sisters? Where's Mary and Joseph's children in this hour? We know this according to the Scriptures, that they at this point had not believed. They were not numbered among His disciples. They were not numbered among His followers. But I believe that they stood watching. One reason for that is, given the character of Mary, what son and what daughter, even if they dismissed this oldest one, this son who has said that he is the only begotten Son of God, and of whom Mary herself has said that Joseph is not his father, the father of Jesus is none other than the only begotten one. He is the only begotten one of the Holy Ghost, and his father is God the Father. I believe these are the ones that stood at the cross, and I have a little bit of time to lay it out for you. I believe that the other disciples, the 12 disciples, less John, he stands at the cross, and less Judas, he went out and he hanged himself. He is dead now. But I think the other 10 disciples, it might be argued, were beholding afar off. I believe that it is possible that the sons and the daughters of Mary and Joseph, are beholding afar off. I believe also that there are others that are there. One by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And I'm going to invite you to turn with me. There's so many passages we could look at. Where are you right now? You're in Luke, aren't you? Look with me at Luke chapter 23. And look with me beginning to read at verse 50. Luke 23 and verse 50. Who else would be numbered among these acquaintances? Verse 50. And behold, look, there was a man named Joseph. Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them. Now let me peel it apart for you a little bit. Look with me first of all, if you would, again at verse 50. Luke 23 and verse 50. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. What is this counselor? He is a member of the Sanhedrin. This is one of the notable ones. He has stood, I believed, in the crowd of those who were beholding afar off. But his words have never been words of cursing or words of mocking. He stands in the midst of those women from Galilee and in the midst of the disciples who might have stood there as well. And he stands there beholding afar off. He is a counselor. It was his body of rulers that had condemned the Lord, but not Joseph. Look with me, if you would, again, verse 51. He was a good man in the sense that he was a kind man. He was a just man. He was righteous. Verse 51. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. Among the Sanhedrin, there was one man. In fact, there was two. But there was one man that would have no part of it. Whatever injustice was going to be done in that hour, you would not name Joseph among them. In another passage of Scripture, we find that he was a rich man. But I'm going to invite you to look at John 19. Would you look there? John 19. And I want to invite you to look with me. Same passage, same setting, but we're going to pick it up reading at verse 38. John chapter 19, verse 38. In verse 38, we read these words. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, notice this, being a disciple of Jesus. But we continue, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. There were two secret disciples that I believe were beholding afar off. They had publicly never taken their stand beside Christ. But they had privately come to believe. Joseph, a disciple, but secret. Can I say to you this morning, some of you might be like Joseph. You don't give testimony of Christ. You know Him. Perhaps those closest to you, at least in your church family, they know that you are a believer. But out in the world, are you an undercover disciple for Christ? Joseph had been secret, but let me say this to you this morning. In this hour of suffering, watching Christ bear His sins, Joseph steps out of the shadows. In the moment that they were consenting to crucify Him, he did not cast his vote. In fact, not only did he not abstain, he consented not. Can I say to you, brother, and I think we're coming to a day in American society that you're going to have to take your stand and not be a secret believer. I need to press on with this. Another, and we'll keep reading where we are there. We're in what, John right now? Look at John 19 again, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But now look at his boldness. Besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and he took the body of Jesus. But now we come to the second secret disciple. Verse 39, Nicodemus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pound weight. Two secret men publicly stepping out of the shadows for Christ. Now I want you to consider why they were beholden afar off, and I'll close. Why were these beholden afar off? And I'll give you some suggestions. Perhaps, as I've said, that the Roman soldiers had set a perimeter around Golgotha, and they allowed in only those that were the closest to Jesus. The others were not allowed to approach. But I would also suggest to you that for some people, the agony and the suffering and the very appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross was enough that some could not bear the sorrow and the anguish and the suffering that Christ was bearing. I think there was a fear of soldiers, a fear of the mocking and the scorn of religious hypocrites. But I also, in all of this, ask the question, where were the men? You ever thought about that? There were many women afar off, but where were the men? You know, one of the great tragedies of the church is how many men never show open devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of our homes are led by women of faith who love the Lord, and yet how many of our men sit back in the shadows and allow the women to lead? It's the tragedy of churches when the men are secret disciples and the women behold afar off. I ask you to take your Bible, and I will turn to John chapter 3, and I ask you to turn there. As I close this morning, I want you to consider Nicodemus and how he came to the Lord by night. You know the whole passage there in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to the Lord, and he's a rabbi. He's a Pharisee. He is a man of letters and a man of the law, and he's a man that is seeking truth. He is a man of sincerity, and he honestly and sincerely wants to know, Jesus, are you the man? Are you the one? Notice with me, and I don't have time to develop this whole portion here, but I invite you, John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a part of the Sanhedrin. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There's his testimony. We've seen evidence in your life and in your ministry and in the miracles that you're performing and in the wisdom of your teachings that you are indeed a man sent from God. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord takes him not just to the matter of obeying the law, but he takes him to the matter of the very heart of man. Look with me further, if you would, John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the mentioning of God's gift of grace, the gift of salvation. It is not going to be in the manner of being keepers of the law, but it's going to be in the manner of recognizing that Jesus Christ is the one that is ultimately going to bear the penalty of our sins. Either believe in this one named Christ and live, or reject Him and be condemned. Verse 17 and 18, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let me close with this morning. The cross is the crossroads. It is the place that you will decide whether that one that hangs on the center cross is none other than who He has said He is. None other than Jesus Christ, the perfect, only begotten Son of God, crucified for our sins. Joseph takes the body of Christ, and he lovingly, along with Nicodemus, washes it and he wraps it. The spices that Nicodemus has brought, 100 pounds worth, they spread over the body, and in a great exercise of love, they do that which ought be done. And they lay his body in the tomb that Joseph had prepared for himself. What a beautiful thought there. The one that lies in the tomb of Joseph is the one who died for him on the cross. But oh, the third day. Those women who had followed his body to the tomb, on the third day they come. And they're bringing spices, and they are looking forward to having the Roman soldier roll away the rock that they might add the spices to the Lord and minister to His body. But as they arrive there, they find that the tomb is open and His body is no longer there. They hear the news that is the greatest news that might be heard among men. He whom you seek is not here. He is risen. The Savior that we preach is not only the one that was crucified for your sins. He is the one who is buried and who is raised again. Why do believers approach the death of loved ones with an anticipation of a reunion? And the answer is, for in Jesus Christ is the reminder, there is a day we shall be raised with Him. Do you know the Lord? Is He your Savior? Let's pray.